two additional politicians of Canada who were declared. They are both in the steering committee. They are even with a longer than one of the session. So that was four. In terms of the announcement that I made in the meeting last month about the absence of Honorable Mwena, I have written to the chair of chairs to see the meeting and try to get the how we get the then want to welcome Honorable Shana and the Honorable
thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm Samuel Marishan from the Department of Trade and Industry. We are having here before us an annex to institutionalize heads of state. And in this presentation, we have a very, very brief background on where SACU comes from. It actually predates 1910, the colonial creation. Before 1910, we had Zimbabwe, Zambia, and others as protectors that were a part of the arrangement. But it was formalized in 1910 to become an agreement with the Union of South Africa. Then, following the 1910, another agreement was entered into in 1959. Honorable members will recall that some of the states had just gotten independent. Then the 1969 agreement was entered into. This agreement was then renegotiated after 1994 and gave rise to the 2002 agreement, which also entered into force on the 15th of July 2004. Now, it's still a relatively newly negotiated agreement. What it did was, the 1969 arrangement did not have many structures. For instance, there was no secretariat. Member states were taking notes by rotation, depending on which member state is chairing and so on. So, then this agreement created the institutions. We have the highest body being the Council of Ministers. Then there was a secretariat established and hosted by the Republic of Namibia. They even erected a new beautiful building that will be inaugurated around November. Now, as we could just look at what really led to some of the things that led to the need for heads of state. When SACU celebrated its centenary in 2010, heads of state was interested in this agreement. They came together and discussed. But then one of the things that arose was the fact that you always need heads of state to give more political guidance. Council of Ministers would at some point hold different views, but then what the senior most is. We have this arrangement in SADC, we have the same arrangement of the state throughout up to the continent. It was only in this case, because the 1969 agreement was looking more at trade and finance, about sharing the revenue and having trade between the countries. So it was felt that as it's about time it is taken to the next level, that you plan to a development that has to happen. The difficulty with this agreement is that it cannot provide for an institution of head of state. So it then became quite an issue. Now, a number of summits were sort of informal. In 2010, they met, but then it was not necessarily a formal structure of SACU. In 2011, they met again, yet it was not a formal structure of SACU. There was talk of programs, developmental programs that could be speeded up. But again, it was more of an informal discussion. In 2013, again, they met, to institutional, which is nice, I mean, has already been taken. So it was more, you know, process. You would have legal experts going into discussions, seeing how any sections can be amended to give effect to the establishment of federal state. They disagreed with them on that. Now we're trying to say, can't we make it formal so that when there are, you know, just like in Sadiq, there will be certain decisions that may require federal state. And therefore, this proposal. The, as we say in the slide, the, some of the objectives, it's one is an additional institution. The head of state, as I said, we have been informally. Now with the formal structure, it is anticipated that you meet once in a year, more or less the same as SADC. And of course, as we look at all this regional integration information, the high decision-making body is established. Now, we just reflecting on the meetings that we have that I alluded to. There was this meeting in 2010 that was commemorating the centenary, and of course, it was the source telling as well of the new headquarters building in Namibia. This meeting was held in Facebook. Then in 2012 and 2013, it was a continuation of these meetings. Now, the role of SADC in SADC and in SAUF would be more or less the same. The difference here is SAUF who has a limited agenda compared to SADC, that covers all areas, and SAUF who currently focuses more on trade and region sharing. And as we say, the intention is not to, you know, to scale it up to a developmental agenda. Now, we gave an example of a program, a 5-6 month program that has also been met in 2011 to try and see how we can not only implement the agreement as it is, but introduce those other areas of development that are required. We take, for example, that was only about trading goods, but trading services in the base is an important aspect. So there was need for these kinds of issues to now form part of the developmental agenda of SACU, and now the need for all of this to be formalized, but for them to be more formalized than chiefs of heads of state, then the institution of heads of state must be part of the agreement. The processes of having the annex developed were followed internally from the Department of Justice, which advised that it is an institution that will have to be ratified by Parliament. It was tabled before Cabinet. It will say here that it's been a Department of Trade and Industry that has been coordinating SACU all along from the 1969 arrangement. This is briefly the reason we are asking for the ratification of the annex. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. I think it's an historic record. We did not go into the detail of the agreement itself because the agreement is that. It is assumed that you have familiarized ourselves with the content level, but I think it's important maybe to just highlight one or two aspects related to that too. The one is an email that we just got this morning about the agreements of the financial institutions within these countries that you can now freely transfer money within the SACU member states without incurring any additional cost on the transfer of the money. The second one is, if we look at the details itself, it helps us to deal with the issue, as has been said by Marisha, by Ms. Marishani, in terms of the services, but also helps us in terms of products. Now, one of the difficulties that we have, for example, is that traders may decide to buy their goods into Lesotho because Lesotho has a lower tariff, and then bring goods from Lesotho into South Africa. And what the SACO agreement does, it helps us now to say that there will be a standard tariff for imported goods amongst all the members of SACO, and there will be free movement of those goods. So if it is in terms of flying goods cheaper, then it's fine. Mm-hmm. The trader can bring the goods into any of the SACO member states, but it will be then available for sale to any of the countries within the region. That's one. The second one is the problem of agriculture. That we know that part of the difficulty that we have in agriculture, particularly when we deal with live animals, is that you have diseases with live animals and with fruits and veggies that can be transferred from one country to another. SACO agreements make sure that the movement of those goods are going to be subjected to the international standards of testing, that those products are free from any diseases. So it helps us as well to deal with that. But also because agriculture might not be as important to South Africa as it is to many of our neighboring countries, but food sovereignty is as important to us as what it is to neighboring countries. And what SACO agreement now does is to make sure that while there will be space for the movement of such agricultural products, there is going to be some type of a coordinated approach to ensure that we do not have a situation where Botswana, for example, will send all their cattle to South Africa and not provide for the needs of the people in Botswana as well. The point, Honourable Father, that you raised yesterday about the water sources is also an important one, because we do get, particularly from our dam, we are dependent upon the Highlands Water Project in Lesotho. This is a formalized agreement that will make sure that South Africa is not the big brother in this approach, but that it benefits especially as much. I think the final point that I just wanted to raise is about the economic partnership agreements. And what has happened with the European Union and many other countries in the region is that they have economic partnership agreements that are contradicting each other. For example, the European Union might say to Swaziland that we are prepared to buy cotton from you and we will give you this rate on the cotton, and then have a completely different position that is much more beneficial to South Africa. And what this agreement is not saying is that no, we will also have, and therefore the heads of state element is important, that the heads of state will talk and they will look at ensuring that we in our international trade, particularly with the European Commission, do not have positions that take advantage of within the region. That summarizes sort of the answer. But let me throw it open to members if there are any questions that you have that we deal with at this one. Honorable Father.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I agree with you on everything that you said so far, and thank you for the input. I think it's quite clear. I just had one question. The presenter said to us about the new beautiful offices that was built in Namibia. Now, the question is, and not that I'm always the guy that wants to say, but who pays for this? But who pays for this is the question. I want to know, because it's in Namibia that these beautiful offices, and at what cost, and whose expense does this go to, if I may know. Thank you.
Merci, Honorable Marisha.
And a question about, let me just ask Mr. Marishane. We normally do it so that when you go back to DDR, you also have understanding of our committee. I'm from Gauteng. Honorable father is from the Northern Cape.
The biggest province.
Biggest province. With the best lines.
The largest, actually the largest province.
No, the lines are better. Let me put it this way. The sweet ones are less in the world because of the heat in which they are producing them. When you look at the sherries and things like that, then it's the best one. The only country in the world where you can tell it, the only province in the world where you can get white. Honorable Mita, who is not happy with us promoting Northern Cape, is from the East Coast.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Let me just appreciate the presentation by the discussion and also compare with my colleague, Honorable Father, that at least the presentation is quite straightforward. And what is more pleasing just in the issue of sterilization of the Christ, because we do not want to find a situation where as these countries fight with each other in terms of Christ, and also the issue of making sure that the product they do really meet international standards, that they will be flying to these countries. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I hope we can have many more of the special wool that we can get from the Eastern Cape to be part of this as well. Many of us don't know about the potential for wool production in the Eastern Cape. So the ship can benefit us greatly. Honorable Gaunt is from the Western Cape, and if you want to enjoy your holidays, that is the man to talk to. He's from the beautiful part of the world where we have wonderful tourism facilities. He's from the what we traditionally call the Southern Cape, but he's Western here, Georgia area. Honorable Lord.
Just firstly, in principle, anything that will facilitate more trade, that is good. Before I go into other questions, I just want about the use of our time. We have the department coming to us today. We have set time out every week for committees, and we do not get all our work to all the entity that we need to look at. So when we have a shorter view, we'll try and make better use of our time to maybe do something extra there as well. There's three questions I just want to ask. What is the legal standing of the meetings and the decisions of the four previous summits since they were not within the SACCO agreement? SACCO have been in existence for more than 100 years. What happened in 2010 that required the need to have the heads of state meet and have this institutionalized? And how is the additional cost of this going to be funded, the hosting costs, specifically the hosting costs going forward? And before we go on to that, Jay, just something tongue-in-cheek, I really give you a formal invitation to please come to Karlsdorp, where it is known that it is the port and swimming capital of South Africa, where we have not only received national awards but international awards. But I would give you, since you come from Gauteng province, we who have the taste of the wines in the West again will make sure you know what's going on all over in our provinces.
Thank you very much. I will come back on the important point that you raised about maximizing our time. After Marisha, I was not a Chinese, so responded to the core question.
Thank you, Chair. On the building, the SACCO agreement makes provision for a revenue sharing arrangement. That is where we collect building now before the revelations could be distributed to members on an annual basis. A portion would be set aside for the project until completion. So even the maintenance and upkeep of the building, the money will come from the same common revenue pool. So it has built on that sort of program, phased in over a couple of years. And on the meetings of Hezo's meeting, as we say, they first met because there was a centenary celebration, Sakura celebrating 100 years. So it was felt that Hezo's day, who are signatories actually to this agreement, needed to be invited to the centenary celebration. Then, of course, in the course of their deliberations, they then started talking about how best can you take up to the next level. And that is how the next aerospace would sort of themselves would invite aerospace now to Pretoria and just have a discussion on how we can take this process forward. So it's been coming. Now, the legal standing, I think in the meantime, the decisions of Hezo State would then be endorsed by council in their meeting to the new decisions of council, which is why there was an easy way of inviting officials now to begin to insert some articles in the agreement that will make provision for the Hezo State. Also, the hosting cost. SACU does not host from this common revenue pool. It is an arrangement where the meetings are held on a rotational basis. And there are only four meetings of council. So if it is in April, maybe it may be held in Namibia. In June, hosted by Botswana, in July hosted, in September hosted by Botswana. So the hosting implications are such that if once of meeting, for instance, in this case, if Hezo State are going to meet only once in a year, it will be the next member state that hosts that will incur the cost of hosting. But it's more than the same as hosting site meetings. I hope it clears us.
Member Lord, does it clarify?
The first thing is we got a short presentation to go through, which is fine, but there's hybrid concern. Are we giving away some of our advantages that we have? Because we, most of the GDP in this area is contributed by South Africa. Now, we are now giving away some of our, I don't want to say control, but management of the situation. I mean, we lend the host country be one of our neighbors, and it's actually difficult to get there as well. I just don't know why this change now, what is the benefits going to be? And also going forward, I mean, I'm not really covered in terms of the cost. What is the cost going to be for us versus the benefits that we are going to get out of that?
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think perhaps we should look at SACU from two angles. Yes, our EP is bigger in SACU, of course, obviously also in SADC. But I think what's historic in this whole arrangement is that they started off as captive market of South Africa, and they still are. I think you have about, if you take one example of Botswana, by 80% of products in the country come from South Africa. That's the commercial benefit that we derive as a country from these countries, in as much as we have others. The cost that we are talking about in terms of the headquarters As I said, the host teams are taking place in all of the member states. It's only in the fact that we just got less than 30 people from all countries. The arrangement is that the employees of the secretariat should come from all SACU member states. So it's not necessarily benefiting. Namibia would only take local staff for cleaning small administrative duties as a small secretariat. So there isn't a significant cost that is borne. But more importantly, the money comes from a common revenue pool of SACU, where all the countries have been putting in their customs and excise revenue into one pool. Now, before it gets distributed among member states, then you slice off just the session of the money to administer the secretariat. It normally doesn't even constitute, I would think, within 5% of the total pool, maybe 0.05% of the total. It is very, very small. If you're talking revenue in the average of some 80 billion, the secretariat's budget would be around 30 million. So it's very, very, very small.
Can I just follow on that? Right? When you talk about the cost, we're looking at that proportion. Yesterday, we had the South African Revenue Service also reporting to Parliament as well as the Treasury. And it was indicated, because if we're talking about customs and excise and tariffs that are being paid, that is being managed for us by SARS. And SARS indicated that the proportion for administration of the collection is 0.97%. So it's an important question to raise, Honorable Martin, but we need to look. I think the general standard, the global standard, is 3%, and we are way beyond that. So it's important that this committee then indicates that we should always be mindful that this cost doesn't go up. But I think there is a political element to that as well. And the political question is that who was it who decided that you should have a Botswana, a Lesotho, and a Namibia in this region? There is a perception, there is an understanding, an historical understanding amongst the heads of state that those are colonial boundaries that have been drawn. But those countries are now sovereign states with resources, both mineral and human. And how do we then ensure that those resources are to the maximum benefit of those countries in the globalized environment? So the decision within the African Union was to say, let's look at dividing the continent into the four regions. But for us in this SADC region, we are seeing historical opportunities like SACU that are there. At some other time, we would look at our participation in 2016, in Agenda 2016, as a SADC region. But here we're just looking at an existing trade agreement. Like, the questions that we could ask is why are other protectorates like Mozambique and Zimbabwe and Angola not into this? But we're not raising that question now. We're saying there's some significance in SACU, it has in there. Let's look at ensuring that the benefit for every country in the region, because the mistake that we must not make is to think that this should only benefit South Africa. Because what we find happening with the migration of people at the moment is that scores of workers from Swaziland, from Lesotho, who are making major contributions to the economy of South Africa. And we should not let that happen at the expense of the fiscus, at the expense of the revenue base within those countries. And that is a different conversation. But what he's saying here is, when it comes to issues of trade, we then want to make sure that such trading opportunities do not only benefit one country, and it shouldn't prejudice another country in the region, but as we are seeing in South Africa, our economic development should benefit the people of South Africa. We are also saying that the economic benefits of people in Namibia should benefit people of Namibia. And through the SACCO arrangement, we are trying to make sure that we have an agreement as to how exactly that is going to happen. You know that very often, if we look at many countries in the old Soviet bloc, Ukraine, Georgia, many countries that were part of the Soviet Union, and we look at the tensions that are happening in the Middle East now, we are saying that we have to preempt that by making sure that there is conversation amongst the countries within the Southern African region through SACCO in terms of trade. I mean, what I didn't want to say to you earlier, but let me say to you now, is that what we find happening is that as we engage with China, we are now finding that some business people in China are also looking at how they can get maximum profit for themselves out of the opportunities in the Southern African region. And we're saying, no, 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 no. We want to make sure that we also benefit. Now, in South Africa, we can stand our ground, but you find that there are other countries in the region that do not have that same political clout that we have in South Africa. And we're saying, how do we then help support those countries so that when we look at economic development, if it's only benefiting South Africa, we don't have the 3 million Zimbabweans coming to South Africa. So how do we make sure that development also happens in Zimbabwe so that when we have to deal with the social aspects of our responsibility in South Africa, we can deal with that of South Africans in a justified manner. And also what we presented yesterday was the element of the human rights component there, because we're saying that we cannot in trade ignore the fact that we are dealing with the rights of people, and how do we enhance this approach to human rights and nurturing a culture of human rights. It hasn't been mentioned, so I just thought it's important that when we look at SACCO, we must not think that in the trade policies we are oblivious to the human rights elements thereof as well. And before I give you a chance, Mr. Marashana, to just say that on London, the other question about the meeting, two things. We are aware of that. The fact of the matter is that we are being bedeviled, as is happening with this meeting, by some of the programmatic plans within the NCOP. The NCOP was supposed to look at your whole program, to have a workshop for the whole day. Then at the 11th hour, they informed us that no, we can't have the workshop. The secretary and myself has been in conversation since last week, Wednesday. But I said to him, I look at the Z-list, this meeting is not on the Z-list. Then he says, you can only put a meeting on the Z-list when the chair of chairs has signed off on it. Because then at the 11th hour, we had to approach the Department of Trade and Industry, requesting them to come and do this presentation today, because it was actually supposed to be an NCOP workshop. So we appreciate the Department of Trade and Industry saw the gap and met us halfway by indeed sending Mr. Marashani here today. Now, next week we had the same problem that I announced yesterday, that the Department of Economic Development then informed us that no, they're having a difficulty doing their presentation. And that was the paper and Grace yesterday, and we agreed that we would look at that to make sure that indeed we do have a presentation in a sitting, because we once you give in and change your program for Tuesdays and Wednesdays, you create uncertainty within the minds of members, and I don't want that to happen. We must have it in our heads all the time. Wednesdays and Tuesdays is dedicated to our committee meetings. But and finally to say that we are having a meeting of the MENCO of the combined committees tomorrow morning. And now it might not have been communicated because I just don't want to do the secretary now. So the staff don't be surprised. But we're having that meeting tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock to then look at ensuring that the point that you are raising is indeed considered in our plans. That we should always make sure that they, when there is a gap. Now let me, with that, just add sure whether that is going to happen, whether it's going to happen or not. So already we have to make contingency arrangements for that as well. So with that, we also give an apology that you got notice about today's meeting a little bit late. I mean, normally we would give you notice on a Thursday, but we had to wait until the Chair of Chairs returned to office on Monday and signed off so that you could appear in the ATC, and then Martins and Zubeka had to run around to make sure that they get the documentation to you in time for this meeting. But that also then contributed to the brevity of it, where we said we can have a long, detailed conversation with lots of documents that we send to you like 48 hours before meeting. It's not fair to request you to work through those documents in the short term. But those again, this is an important agreement, and therefore less of it, without creating any stress on any point. Thank you very much for it. Mr. Malishan.
Thank you, Chair. First, to also give another example, you alluded to the economic partnership agreements. And we, so far, this agreement provides that when it comes to tariffs, we have a common external tariff when we negotiate as one. So it's been possible for us as SACU to have a common policy going into the efforts. And it has helped to also streamline the TDCA into the process that they become the implementers. As far as the trade component is concerned, that we are able to harmonize. We've taken the same common positions to SADC when the SADC trade protocol was negotiated, so it became one SACU position into SADC. So in all of these instances, the spirit of working together as a customs union, they expect quite a bit more.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, I don't want to keep you here longer than what is necessary. Let's just check for the last round while you're thinking if there's anything else you want to raise. I want to request your approval that what we'll do is we won't take the decision on presenting this today. I have the statement here, but we'll do it when we are already. So, any additional reality? Thank you very much, Mr. Madhushan, for the time and the effort, and we want to ensure you that we appreciate the way in which the TGI has accommodated us even at short notice. We are having another presentation from you. I think it's next week. When you present to us, or your colleagues will be presenting to us your annual report, and we will be engaging further on other issues on this part. We wish you success. Can I just ask, what is your profile, or what do they call it in HR terms, your title, and how are you working on these sound matters?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm the Acting Chief Director for Africa Multilateral in the division called International Trade and Economic Division at the DTI. We're working on SACU, SADC, and African Union and Nepal on trade related matters.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All the best in the work that you're doing there. You could stay with us because we're not going to be very long, but you are also at liberty to reduce yourself if you so wish. Colleagues, there's two things that we need to do. The first is to request your blessing for the program of the Select Committee that has been posted to you for this term. In terms of the program, we are going to receive annual reports from the departments reporting bus, that's tourism, DGI, as well as international relations, and then we are going to also end this term by having the conversation on SEZs that was initially scheduled for today's start the work and deal with SEZs in November. That's essentially the program, other than the time that we are also allocating to taking Parliament to the people, which is a one-week program. So it's an easy decision to make. Can I get an indication as to whether you accept that as our program for this term? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. There's something that we raised yesterday, but I think it's important because of the data is here, that I just repeated to you. Remember we mentioned the question of the factory for people with disabilities in East London and the invitation of the Department of Labour. On the data did indicate that she will attend that. We must just make sure about things that Grace sends that invitation to order of data. I did speak to Grace about that. The final matter, Chair, is Rebecca, do we have minutes? I didn't look at this file. Because we're not correct, we can't adopt the minutes either. On the data. Then that will close the meeting for us.
Just checking, Chair, what are the expectations for the conduct of this committee to the invitation? Is that to attend?
Just to no. It's to represent us back.
Oh, I want them to be sure.
Thank you. Okay. Sorry, colleagues. The secretary has just shown a lot. The secretary has just drawn my invitation to my attention to one invitation here, which is the National Lirizela Tourism Awards Ceremony that will be held in Sandton on the 22nd of October. Now, the 22nd is what day of the week? It's on a Thursday, 5 o'clock, for half past 5, at the Sandton Convention Centre. Let's do it in 2 weeks. Are there any members present here that would be interested in attending? We will cover your travel tonight. If not, if you're considering it, please inform Quebecca. Right? Inform Quebecca if you're with it by Friday, this Friday, if you're interested in attending, so that you can make arrangements to attend that. We have not been doing justice to the Department of Tourism. Sorry. No. We did attend. We only attended the Durban Idaho, but not all the others.
I
went to
the
Johannesburg
Tourism Board.
You weren't invited to the committee? Was the committee invited?
Was not the committee.
I would have been.
The tourism
drama
in
Johannesburg,
I was there.
Yeah.
In this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, okay, then I feel better. But, Lirizela Tourism Awards ceremony, the ratings are always very. I know Lily is a flower.
No, that's on the content of the program. What is the name of the
tourism? What tourism is doing is that they're trying to affirm the work that is being done within the tourism industry to give people an opportunity to show off their work. And this is one such opportunity where people show off, but also interestingly, they learn very interesting lessons from each other. I mean, the one that I attended in Cape Town was amazing, where they had an operator who, out of nothing, in Namibia, developed a huge tourism industry, and then also they developed how do they not only develop industry, but also ensure that within the industry, environmental concerns are being taken care of. If you look, for example, at our visit in Isi Mangaliso, where if we don't look after our environment, our tourism industry suffers. And they award those type of industrial developments that are not creating environmental degradation or damage as well. Colleagues, we have a big thing. Let me just conclude on that. On the report of taking Parliament to the people. We have had the event in April. We have, as government, made certain promises to people. The leadership within the NCOP is saying, have we, as this select committee, look at whether those expectations that have been raised, the promises that have been made, are indeed addressed by government. So they're requesting us to interrogate the report, particularly the Red Act, so that these taking Parliament to the people ventures are not just something of going there and making promises and leaving. We must make sure that particularly the promises that are made by the executive, but also those made by us, are indeed followed through. So they're asking us to just help as we interrogate the report to say that what are the issues that you picked up. And we do have for this committee Zweli Banzi, who is head of content advisor, also looking at that and working with the appropriate person. So if you have any feedback, any questions, any engagement, please feed that through to Zweli Banzi and copy me so that we can make sure that the attention is given. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. I'm not happy with the way. 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 I'm not